Time is 8 p.m. Temperature 32 degrees.
Winter weather advisor.
Well, it looks like it's going to be another one of those snowy nights. Good evening. Is there any emergency or parade traffic on frequency? If so, please call N2UGS.
Repeater, WA2HKS, Buffalo.
All right, good evening. My name is Jeremy. I'm located in Williamsville. Welcome to the Barrett Tech and Informational Net. This net meets every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Our focus is on technical aspects of amateur radio. Whether you're an experienced operator, a new ham, or just curious about the technology behind our hobby, you're right here in the right place. During this net, we'll discuss topics such as equipment, antennas, propagation, digital modes, troubleshooting techniques, and emerging technologies in amateur radio. The goal is to share knowledge, learn from one another, and encourage experimentation and problem-solving within our community. All licensed amateur radio operators are welcome to participate. Please keep transmissions concise and relevant to the technical topic at hand. When checking in, please give the club call, W2EUP. Let up on your microphone and listen to ensure you're doubling like this. Then give your call sign slowly, along with your name and your location. All right, let's get started by taking check-ins for the Barra Tech and Informational Net, or Informational and Tech Net. Please call N2UGS now.
N2UGS, KA8BYU, Roy in Blaisdell.
Oh, I think I was supposed to call W2EUP, right?
My mistake. Please call W2EUP.
Sorry, doubled.
You're right, Rick. Sorry. Please call W2EUP.
Problem.
W2EUP. W2AJR, Andy Chickawaga.
W2EUP. KE2FLX. I thought I did hear him say EUP.
Alright. EUP. This is N2FTW, Dan in Kenmore.
W2EUP. Here is W2ZZA, Dave in South Cheektowaga.
W2EUP. Good evening, N2LCJ, Tim in North Cheektowaga.
W2EUP. W2EUP, this is KE2HCT, Rick in Kenmore.
W2EUP. This is KD2TFB, Kilo Delta 2 Tango Foxtrot Bravo, Joe in Northern Cheektowaga.
EUP. This is Kilo Kilo 7, Victor Golf Quebec, Bob of North Las Vegas.
EUP. EUP, KC2 LEF, Ray in Guestville.
Welcome aboard to Roy, KAABYU. Good evening, Roy. Patrick, KC2XD. Good evening, Rick. Andy, W2AJR. Good evening. Carl, KE2FLX. Dan, N2FTW. Good evening, Dan. Dave, W2ZZA. Good evening, Dave. Tim, N2LCJ in Cheektowaga. I think we got Cheektowaga covered today, guys. And KE2HCT, Rich in Kenmore, it looks like. KD2TFB, Joe, good evening. KK7BGK. And KC2LEF, any additions? corrections or deletions, please call.
W2EUP. WB2HDM, Hotel Delta Mike, Jim in North Carolina.
W2EUP. W2EUP with a correction. It's Kilo, Kilo 7, Victor Golf, Quebec. Q at the end. Bob and North Buffalo.
Welcome to WB2HDM, Jim in North Carolina. Good evening, Jim. And KK7VGQ. I think I got that one right. VGQ. Bob in North Las Vegas. Alrighty. Any other additions, deletions, or corrections, please call W2EUP.
W2EUP, this is WA2HKS, Ted, in Central West Seneca.
KE2, Golf Tango Delta, Depew, New York.
All right, welcome aboard to our repeater manager there, WA2HKS. Ted, good evening. Nice to hear from you. And Mike, KE2GTD, out there in Depew. Thanks for checking in there, Mike. All right, so tonight's topic, we're going to talk a little bit about, well, we talked a little bit about it last night, so I thought it would be a good topic to talk about today. Introduction to SDR dongles. It's a really good way to get your feet wet in amateur radio or just listening to radio to begin with. If you go to Barra-Tech, that's Barra-Tech, T-E-C-H.com, please click on the weekly topic, and you'll see a nice PowerPoint demonstration, which we're going to talk about today. There's about almost 30 slides, but we'll go through them quick. All right, tonight's Baronet focuses on software-defined radio, SDR dongles. There's a bunch of them out there, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes here. One of the most affordable and versatile tools in modern radio. An SDR dongle, such as a popular RTL SDR, based on the RTL2832U chipset. Turns any computer, so if you have a laptop, even if you have an Android phone, you can plug one of these guys into it. Turns it into a wide radio receiver capable of tuning from HF all the way to L-band and beyond. You can use down converters too if need be. With just a small USB stick and some basic software, operators can explore spectrum that traditionally required expensive equipment. We'll cover how SDR dongles work, what hardware is worth buying, and how to set up essential software like SDR++, SDR Sharp, Cubic SDR, which is for Macintosh, and GQRX, which is for Linux flavors. We'll discuss a little bit about antennas, and how inexpensive homemade antennas can dramatically improve the performance. We'll talk a little bit about QFH antennas. Common applications include monitoring FM broadcasts, weather radio, APRS, ADS-B, that's for aircraft, AIS marine traffic, P25 and trunk systems. I know a lot of the public safety here has switched over to P25, and you can use one of these little dongles to listen to it now because those old scanners aren't going to work anymore. You can listen to P25 trunk systems, NOAA satellite imagery, spectrum analysis. We can even pick up slow scan television off the ISS with one of these little $30 or $40 dongles. More advanced uses include like a pan adapter, integration with ham rigs, remote receivers, and digital signal decoding. Some folks use it as a pan adapter so that they'll use a separate receive antenna and a transmit antenna, or they'll put a switch in between, and the pan adapter lets you, if you have an old style radio or an older style radio, it gives you a visual waterfall on the computer. Our goal tonight is to give newcomers a solid foundation and offer experienced users to change and share tips, tricks, and interesting projects they've done with SDR. Whether you're brand new or already experimenting, there's something here for everyone, so stick around.
I appreciate it. I wish I had a little bit more time. It was very nice listening to... I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm like 5 weeks. I've had my license, but I do appreciate the comeback. It's just a little above my head right now. This is KE2 Golf Tango Delta DePue. We're gonna be on the side. 73.
All right, Mike. Well, keep an ear tuned, and I'll tell you what. With this little tiny dongle, this little dongle got me back into amateur radio, and it pretty much opened up the world to amateur radio when I found out what one of these little guys do. All right, so we're on slide number one. It's an introduction to RTL-SDR. Slide number two is, what is the RTL-SDR? If you look there on the right, it's a tiny little USB dongle. Well, it's not tiny anymore. They make them tinier now. But it's a dongle that plugs into the side of your computer. There's an antenna port on it, and you can connect that antenna to either an indoor antenna, an outdoor antenna, a satellite antenna, whatever antenna you're using to pick up with whatever you like to pick up with. It's got a 2.4 megahertz bandwidth. Tuning range is from 24 to 1.7 gigahertz. Some go down to HF. Most all of them go down to HF now. So if you purchase one of the RTL SDR version 4s, you'll be okay. Originally, it was used as a tuner for television, digital television broadcasts. So back in the day, if you had one of these things and you whipped out your laptop, you could fire it up and show all your friends that you're picking up HD television with this little dongle on your computer. What happened was is some folks found out that this dongle also can be used as a radio with a VFO on it. It opened up a whole new world of experimentation, new and old blood returning to the radio scene. That's what happened to me. I got a hold of one of these, and here I am today. Moving on to slide number three. Redesigned the RTL-SDR version 3 or version 4. Generic dongle. Now there's there's a bunch of dongles out there that aren't genuine RTLSDR.com dongles, and you have to be wary about those because some of them don't work as well as this one. So I highly recommend finding an RTL genuine SDR.com version 3 or version 4 dongle. And I think I've got a slide in here that shows the difference between them. The RTL-SDR dongle, the version 3 dongle, also has a bias T. So what the bias T will do is it will inject inject power into the line. So if you have a preamplifier, I have that on my ADS-B antenna. I've got the preamplifier right underneath the antenna, and I inject voltage up the line so it powers it. Not all of the SDR dongles do that. If you're also If you have satellite dish at your house, your satellite dish does the same thing. It has BIAS-T. It injects power up into that LNB on your satellite dish.
W2RLN.
Go ahead.
Is there a net running right now, today?
There is a net.
Oh, okay. I would like to check in. I didn't know if I should check in right now or not.
Got you there, Rich. W2RLN, thanks for checking in tonight. We're talking about RTL SDR dongles, and this is N2UGS with the Bera Technical and Information Net. If we move on to, we're on Bera-Tech.com, and if you click on the weekly topic, we're on slide number 4. Different types of RTL SDR dongles. You'll see many different types there. I'm familiar with the first three on the top line. I've used all of them, and they seem to work pretty well. I have not used a Nuelec one, but I've heard that they work fairly well too. How to set up an RTL SDR dongle. They're not plug and play, but they are sure are close enough to it. If you plug it into your computer, they have you just go to their website and download some drivers to update the drivers that your computer will automatically install. It's very easy to do. There's a video on the website RTL-SDR.com on how to do that when you get your dongle. When I got mine, it comes with instructions, and it tells you to go to a website. So yeah, it's pretty easy to set up. And slide number 6, if you take a look at slide number 6, it shows a picture of what the SDR software looks like, which your dongle will run on. It's just a picture of, it looks like 416.367.293. They've got it in narrow FM, so it looks like there's a few stations in there, maybe even some digital stations, but we can't hear them because that's not live. On to slide number 7, Ash Applications. We're going to move on to slide number 8, which is digital voice monitoring. And this is N2UGS with the Bera Technical and Information Net. On to digital voice monitoring. Now, this is why I got involved with the RTL-SDR. My local municipality switched from analog to digital. I was like, what's going on here? How come I can't hear them anymore? So I picked up one of these dongles, and I used a program called DSD Plus, which is used to decode P25 and DMR. Most of the municipalities in our area do not run encrypted. There are a few that do, but if they are encrypted, you're not going to be able to hear them. You'll be able to listen to pretty much all flavors of digital radio, D-Star, Fusion, DMR, of course, NXDN. Now, in some instances, two dongles might be used to listen to trunked systems. But recently, they've been able to figure out how to just use one dongle, so you don't need two anymore. You only need to use one dongle. So if you want to listen to the SIA system, one dongle will probably get you by, and you'll be able to listen to a handful, maybe 100 talk groups in Western New York. on to slide number 9. Slide number 9 shows my setup here at my QTH. I use a program called SDR Trunk. And SDR Trunk, what that does is it takes the four SDR dongles, or RTL SDR dongles that I have, and it combines them together. So I've got lots of bandwidth to listen to these trunk systems that you can see on the screen here. So I'm listening to Niagara County trunk system, Grand Island system, SIA UB system, and it looks like the SIA Tier 3 network. And that's all being listened on to through with four SDR dongles. If you look at the bottom there, you can see that there's specific units that are coming in and out when they transmit. So we know that we can listen to digital radio, DMR, NXDN, D-Star, all the fancy encryption. Well, not the encryption ones, but we can listen to all the digital types both now with an SDR dongle and some fancy software. But they also can be used to decode digital information. If we go to slide number 10, we can capture right out of thin air what they're sending to pagers. Now they're, some of them are encrypted, some of them aren't, but with a piece of software called PDW, you can tune your RTL SDR dongle to the frequency here in Western New York that they use to for the pager network, and you'll see a whole bunch of pages flying by. Now, it's nothing really interesting. Like I said, most of the stuff is encrypted at this point, but you do see some traffic go by. Moving on to slide number 11, and this is N2UGS with the Western District, with the Barra Technical and Informational Net. Starts at 8 o'clock on every Wednesday. Moving on to slide number 11, we've got a picture of ACARS. Now, ACARS is what the planes use to communicate back and forth. Sometimes they use HF, sometimes they use VHF, and sometimes they'll use satellite network. And each one of those different, on each one of those different bands, with an SDR dongle, you're able to pick up the communications with the planes. You would be amazed to see how many messages fly back and forth on VHF, HF, and through the satellites. Moving on to slide number 12. Slide number 12 is just another setup of an operator using multi-PSK with what looks like SDR Uno decoding ACARS messages. Looks like on VHF. VHF, you'll see a lot of messages coming through, but on HF, not as much. And same with the satellites. Most of it you'll see on VHF. Moving on to slide number 13, this is a program called QSSTV. What this program does is it decodes flow scan television. So if you have your antenna configured correctly, or you're using one of those handheld Yagis, in your flat, and the International Space Station is coming by, you can track the International Space Station with your antenna and actually decode if they're sending flow scan television. I've decoded a couple pictures before. I think I have a couple samples here. Yes. And flight number 14 is a sample of one of the slow scan television messages that they sent down from the space station. Okay, moving on to slide number 15. Slide number 15, we're going to talk a little bit about, so if you take one of these RTL SDRs, and I've heard lots of people talk about Raspberry Pis, you plug it into a Raspberry Pi and make a remote station, as long as it's connected to the internet. There's a lot of folks that have web SDRs set up. Just go into Google, type web SDR in the city that you're looking for, and you're most likely it'll show up. And what you're listening to is something similar to what you see in the picture there. Let's see here. Going to slide number 16. If you take a look at the top there, it's websdr.kj7abk.com. Now, this station is located in Las Vegas. If you send your browser to that URL and pull up that website, it will pull up the SDR receiver at his location, and you'll actually be able to hear us talking in Las Vegas. If you tune to one of the N4NJJ repeaters, you can look across the top there. There's a few of them listed. I don't have them zoomed in, but you can zoom in and it would display the call signs a little bit better. Moving along to slide number 17, we're going to look at ADS-B and how to track aircraft. Now, I've started tracking aircraft for a few years now. You can see, if you look in the background there, you can see my range. So I get out pretty far. Actually, well, I don't get out, but that's as far as I can listen. I'm using a collinear antenna, and I aggregate data from here in Buffalo and send it to all the different other data aggregators. Once you do that, what they do is they give you free access to their commercial website. So if you start tracking airplanes and share it with them, they'll give you their premium package on their website. Moving along to slide number 18, NOAA and meteor weather satellites. These APT weather satellites are starting to fade away. So if you would like to get an image off of one of these satellites, do it soon. I'm not talking about at the end of a week or something, but in the next few years, they're starting to phase them out. Now, NOAA 15 is crossed out. It is still alive, but it won't be for much longer. What you can do is, again, with the same antenna that you would use to listen to, the space station, if you track, you can track it with your hand. What I did was built a QFH antenna, and it looks sort of funny. It's like sort of spirally. You can take a look, if you go online onto Google, look up QFH antenna. That's what I used to pick up the satellite broadcast. If you go along to slide number 19, those are some pretty crisp pictures. Now, Corey took these pictures. He's down in the southern tier, or he received these pictures, and he just did a great job. Also captured a hurricane there, slide number 20. He did a really nice job. He's got a beautiful setup at his house. Corey, K2CJS. Thank you, Corey. I just lost my spot here. All right. We're going to move along to slide number 21, QRM, noise detection and locating. All right, so we could use a bunch of RTL-SDRs as a QRM detector, which you can see in the next couple of slides coming up here. We use multiple dongles and some software to pinpoint and track signals in the area, which might be something we want to think about doing or having a setup for the club or for the clubs, or have someone in the area that has one that we could use. Moving along to slide 22, this is the Kraken SDR, which is used to do that type of tracking. The top picture is a picture of mag mounts on top of a vehicle. The bottom picture is the Kraken SDR, so it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different inputs for different antennas. If you look on the right-hand side, that's like a field setup with the Kraken SDR, which you would use in like a fox hunt type situation. And of course, it comes with a fancy app that that you can use that I'll show you exactly where the signal may be coming from. On to slide number 23 is the conclusion. The RTL-SDR is an extremely cheap yet highly versatile receiver. Hundreds of applications for it. Where can you get your dongle? Right at Amazon. But don't get fooled, because there's some dongles out there that aren't real. There are dongles that are fake. So if we move on to slide number 24, it shows spotting a RTL-SDR blog clone versus a genuine. So what we're looking at right now are all genuine RTL-SDR dongles. Slide number 25 shows the knockoffs, and they sort of explain to you how you can tell the difference. Biggest difference is where the antenna connector is. You can see that there's 4 screws in there. There should only be 2 screws in there, and they should be diagonal from each other. Telltale sign. That's all I got for you this evening. So I hope we've got lots of questions, and we've got some folks that have RTL-SDRs at their house, and maybe you can share with us on how you use them. So before we go to the top of the list here, let's do another call up for check-ins. Any other check-ins wishing to join the Barra Tech and Informational Net, please call N2UGS or please call W2P now. W2EUP now.
W2EUP. K2LED. Bob, Portable, Town of Tonawanda.
I got a Kilo Mike 7, and then you cut out. Try again, please.
Yeah, it's Mark. Kilo Mike 7, Bravo, Oscar Papa, Las Vegas. No traffic.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for checking in this evening. And K2LED, Bob, thanks for checking in this evening. All right, let's go back up to the top of the list here. Roy, good evening. And do you have one of those RTL-SDR dongles?
Good evening, Jeremy. W2EUB, KAA-BYU. No, not at the present time, but at... I like the presentation, and I'm thinking about getting one now. maybe after the first of next year. this one's kind of tied up already. But, yeah, sounds good. And, very good presentation.
Thank you, Roy. Yeah, I mean, it's these things are really easy to get going. It's awesome to get your feet wet. You can listen to stations from all over the world with them. You can listen to digital stations, analog stations, FM, AM, narrow FM, wide FM, you name it. It's really a radio and a little USB stick. Rick, KC2XD, do you have a RTL-SDR dongle, or have you seen anyone use one before? Go ahead, Rick.
No, I do not have one. I've only seen it used once. It's interesting. I never got around to doing it, though, so maybe I should. It doesn't seem very costly. Back to net. KC2XD. Thanks, Jeremy.
Yeah, Rick, I think you too, that might be something easy for you to get into. I started using it with an indoor antenna, and I was picking up ACARS messages with an indoor antenna, no problem. Cool. All right, Andy, W2AJR, what do you have for us tonight?
Good evening, Jeremy, everybody on the net. Yeah, I've been using RTL SDRs for years. Ever since I got my first HF rig, I used it as a pan adapter because I've got an older Yaesu FT920. I use the EXTIO version plug-in for SDR Uno and OmniRig in combination, and I control my rig that way. And that way, just with a click of the mouse, I can change frequencies, change bands, all the rest of that stuff. And now I just got another one because now I'm picking up my temperature and weather information off of my weather station and some of my neighbors as well. So, yeah, they're a whole lot of fun and they're cheap. Back to you.
Yes, they are. Yeah, that's great. I do the same thing. I fired up mine to pick up weather too, and holy smokes, though, I was getting temperature from all the houses all around the neighborhood. Cool, Andy. Thanks for your comments. Appreciate it. And for your check-in. Carl, KE2FLX, your comments this evening. Take it away.
Copy, W2EUP. Good evening, y'all. Yeah, I found SDR shortly after I found GMRS, and I was looking for the ultimate radio that would cover everything, and that popped up on the list. it's a fun little tool. I like the presentation so far. I made sure I was able to download the PowerPoint thing. Yeah, it's going to be helpful later on. And, that's all I have. Back to that KE2FLX.
All right, Carl, thank you very much. Yeah, it's a cool little toy to have in your toolbox as a ham radio operator. Or if you're listening and you're not a ham radio operator, by all means, pick one up and listen to us through there. Dan, N2FTW, good evening. What do you have for us tonight?
Hi, Jeremy. I have a little blue Nuelec SDR that I bought probably 10 years ago, and they'll say, you know, the performance is so-so, but it was cheaper. It was the cheapest SDR at the time on Amazon. I forgot how much it cost, but now I'm tempted to buy one of the more expensive ones so I can get down into the HF frequencies. One thing, little bit of SDR, I can't say trivia, but Nuelec is based out of Buffalo. So when you're buying from them, you're buying local in a way. Their facility is in Mayfield. So that's all I have.
Ah, thank you, Dan. Appreciate that. I didn't know that. I have one of the Nuelec ones too, because they were out of the other ones at the time when I was trying to order them on Amazon. And you're right, it's not as sensitive as the RTL SDR version 3 or version 4, and it didn't have the bias T, feature on it, but it did have a little bit more extended frequency range. All right, cool. Thank you very much, Dan. Appreciate it. We're moving on to Dave, W2ZZA, your experience with SDRs. Take it away, Dave.
Yeah, okay, Jeremy. W2EUP, W2ZZA, Dave here in South Jeep Dewaga. Good evening to everyone on NetFellow Hams and listeners. Yeah, I've got a few SDRs in the drawers here. Some strictly engineering comments regarding them. They are very susceptible to strong signal interference, adjacent or otherwise, and because they have no effectively no front end on them. Yes, I like what you call the bias T, or old people call phantom power, which is real handy for anybody that's trying to get weak signals. You know, having the preamp up at the antenna is always the best idea. Overcome the line loss and give yourself a better chance of hearing those weak ones. And the SDRs are excellent for weak signal. They're just not very tolerant to strong signals near them. And in my shack, everything's a strong signal. So with that, back to net control.
Yes, Dave, you're absolutely right. And if you go on to Amazon or type in SDR filters, there are a whole plethora of filters that they build for these guys, especially the blackout FM. So if you're listening to, if you're trying to pick up the satellites, the NOAA satellites, they recommend you, I think it's called a Sawbird adapter, and it blocks out the FM stations. I personally haven't had a problem with that here at my QTH, but I've heard people that have had that problem. Tim, N2LCJ from W2EUP, pick it up. Tim, go ahead.
Thanks, Jeremy. N2LCJ. Yeah, I do have one of the SDRs, and I actually had two questions. Number one, I had no idea it could be used as a digital TV. Can it, and with what program? And secondly, the last time I used it, the one limitation was there wasn't a program to allow it to scan, like between a certain range of frequencies. Is there something that allows it to do that?
Yes. Now, there are two plugins for SDR Sharp. There's a digital television plugin. I mean, if you want to get fancy and you want to do it the amateur ham way, you get a plugin and watch digital television by decoding it through SDR Sharp. But there is also other programs out there that are free. I think, I don't know, just do a search for DTV free client. And there's a handful of them out there. I've played with them before. And you don't really need a big antenna. What was your second question, Tim?
No, it was about being able to scan, like, between two certain frequencies. Last time I used SDR Sharp, I think it was, you could put in a frequency to listen to, but you weren't able to, like, use it as a monitor. Like, let's say I wanted to scan between, I don't know, for whatever reason, 800 and 860. Is there a program that would allow it to auto-scan between those frequencies and be like a scanner, just instead of direct inputs between a certain range?
You better believe it. There's a search plugin that'll actually search in between, like you said, in between a set of frequencies, and then it will save each frequency that it stopped on. And I think you can cross-reference it with radio reference, so when it stops on the frequency, it'll pop up the municipality that it belongs to.
Wow, that is awesome. That is awesome. I'm going to have to check into that. All right, well, I appreciate it. Great night. And to LCJ, back to you.
All right, Tim, thank you very much. Yeah, I know that we were talking about SDRs last night and a couple days ago, so I figured it would be a good topic for tonight. KE2HCT, Rich, Rick, and Kenmore, pick it up.
Thanks, Jeremy. W2EUP, this is KE2HCT. I haven't had anything to do with these, but boy, is it exciting. What a great presentation. I can't wait to order my first one and get started. Back to net.
Winter weather advisory.
Awesome, Rick. I'm glad you're going to get involved. Cool. Yeah, you'll have lots of fun with it. Like I said, that's what sparked my interest back into ham radio. I got myself a hold of one of these things. Joe, thank you for logging this evening a little bit here. KD2TFB from W2EUP. Pick it up there, Joe.
Thank you, sir. It was a little bit late to the party because I was doing open mic night. I do the celebrity call sign of the week for them. I would have been here sooner, but technical problems. Anyhow, very nice presentation. I know a lot of them do waterfalls, kind of working off of Tim's question. So if you have a program that does waterfalls, is there anything that will, anything in the software which will kind of let you hear the strongest signal at the moment? I'm thinking, okay, you get this one that's transmitting, you got a strong one coming down the waterfall. Oh, there's this stronger one over here that might be more interesting. It will switch to decoding that frequency. Back to net.
You know, I haven't run into anything like that. You might be able to find something on GitHub that works with, like, the new, I think it's called New Radio, or the new tools for Linux. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can build something that does that. That's so, like, if you turn it on HF and you scan through the entire band, it's going to let you know which frequencies have activity on them. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's typically how the waterfall on commercial receivers works, you know, or transceivers, you know, like an ICOM or whatever. But yeah, I this just looks fascinating. And as I recall, you were saying some of these softwares that you've been using have plug-in architecture, right?
That is correct. SDR Sharp allows you to make your own plugins, and there's a sample plugin that you can adjust yourself. Or you can look at the other plugins that other folks have written. Yeah, when you get into building with the blocks with new radio, you can really do some pretty cool stuff with the SDR dongle in terms of decoding and triggers and notifications. Thank you, Joe. That was KD2TFB. Let's see here. We're going on to Ray, KC2LEF from W2EUP. Go ahead, Ray.
And thanks for the presentation. I had a real old one here. I used to call it Grandpa. It's in the box of my first Pi. So I'll have to see what's going on now with version 4. Back to you. Have a great night. Take care. Straight KC2LEF.
Thanks, Ray. You know, I think I've got one, too, at the bottom of my drawer, and it was like, when it was new, I think it was about $300 or $400, but it took the square printer cables you plug it into. It works. It's not very responsive. It's probably going to be sold at a ham fest. Well, thank you, Ray. Appreciate that. Moving along here to W2HDM, Jim from W2EUP. Jim, your story with the SDR dongles.
Yeah, W2EUP, Jeremy, thank you very much for a wonderful presentation. I know it takes some time to put PowerPoints together, but it was very educational. I don't have any experience with the dongle. I do have experience with WebSDR.org. WebSDR.org has a long list of free SDRs that are on the Internet. And occasionally, the Buffalo Coffee Group that's on the 8:30 a.m. 7.177 HF will use WebSDR because 40 meters is not always friendly at 8:30 in the morning. The other related experience I have is last Christmas we bought my grandson a Raspberry Pi, and somehow he figured out how to get ADS-B aircraft traffic, but I believe he's using an open source and not a dongle. W2EUP, WB2HDM, Raleigh, Durham.
Very cool. Thank you, Jim. Yeah, he just reminded me, before I picked up one of these dongles, I was using the WebSDR. And now with the WebSDR, you can take the audio from that WebSDR and let's say if you tune to an FT8 or an FT4 channel, you can pipe that that audio that you're getting from that WebSDR into WSJT or JTDX and actually decode the signals that you're hearing through the internet. I did that for a little bit, and I thought that was pretty cool. Actually pretty amazing. Cool. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Let's see here. KK7VGQ, Bob, go ahead. In North Las Vegas from W2EUP.
KK7VGQ. I've got a couple of them. One I've got specifically dedicated to my fox hounding equipment with my Yagi and an attenuator, and I have a small computer that I can run off my power supply in my truck. So when I go out fox hunting, I use that to have the receive signal when it's coming in to see if I'm getting closer to whoever I'm looking for. The other one I have is I just have it on in the house all the time, and I listen to air traffic. I listen to a lot of you guys. That's how I got hooked up with this repeater system. And then I also listen to a lot of shortwave with it. So it's a lot of fun. It's a great little gadget. It's not very expensive, and it's pretty useful, or util, I guess, would be the word. That's all I have. KK7VGQ.
Right, Bob. It's a good tool to have in your toolbox if you're an amateur radio operator. Totally agree with that. Very good for fox hunting too. If you have a couple of them, you can tell, and they are very sensitive too. When I first got mine, I just took a random long wire around the top of my office. And I was picking up stations right away. I couldn't believe it. I was actually pretty miffed. Ted, WA2HKS from West Seneca. Ted, are you still there from W2EUP?
Yeah, Jeremy, this is WA2HKS. Very fine presentation. Brought back memories. I really had two applications. Probably over 20 years ago when digital high-definition TV was coming into the area, I was using SDR dongles, several of them, to record the high-definition TV on computer. That was my first experience with them. And then at HRO, I was talking to them one day, and they, I think I saw it in their catalog, SDR Play. That's a fantastic unit. I was an early adopter of those probably, oh gosh, 5 or 6 years ago. And the nice thing about SDR Play is that they have the filtering in the front end, and it covers wide range. And I was using it both on UHF ham frequencies, mostly ham frequencies, and HF ham frequencies. But it really takes care of the overload issue. And I think the first one that I got, like I said, I was an early adopter of the SDR Play, and I think it was less than $100. And the software is free, whatever they came up with. And we're always updating the software. But it's been a while since I've been playing with it. But really neat stuff. And it sounds like you got into it a lot more than I did, Jeremy. So nice job. W2EUP, WA2HKS.
All right, Ted. Yeah. Oh, boy. You had one of the SDR Plays. They had a little bit more bandwidth than RTL SDR dongles. From what I recall, they had around 10 megahertz of bandwidth. And with the dongles, you're only playing with 2.4. Cool, Ted. Thank you for that. Appreciate the check-in this evening. Mike. From Dubuque, KE2GTD. I think you checked in earlier. Anything else for us, Mike? All right, Mike. I heard you check in earlier. You said you were going to be listening. How about the W2RLN, Rich? Rich in Dubuque, pick it up. Rich, are you still listening? To Bob, K2LED. Mr. Bob, your experience with SDR dongles.
Well, this is K2LED here. My experience goes way back to when they were made for TVs. I have a dongle that I use for TV reception, and shortly after that, people started coming out with software to enable it, to unlock it, to use it as basically an SDR. Haven't played with it since. Haven't needed to. Like Ted, I have a portable device, TinySA, you know, that has the full screen and everything on there. So that's nice and portable. And for HF, if you have a good spectrum analyzer, not a band scope, but a spectrum analyzer, like I have one for my Elecraft, that'll pretty much tell you everything that you need to know. But anyways, I haven't played around with that too much. Like a few others, I have checked my signal on some online SDRs. You know, I've opened up a couple of different ones. And then I've done some locating triangulation of HF signals. What you could do is you open up three online SDRs, and it'll give you a heat map where HF signals are coming from. So that's kind of interesting. Say you got somebody jamming you on HF, you could pretty much narrow down them to several blocks. K2LED, back to that.
Yeah, very cool, Bob. You reminded me. I have 2 SDRs that I got way back when, and I used them for TV, like Ted was talking about. But I'm not joking you. They are the size of a postage stamp. They're not the nice fancy SDR dongles that we're talking about today, but they were tiny little USB dongles that were used just to pick up television. I forgot I had those. So, yeah, they make them super small. Thanks for checking in tonight, Bob. Appreciate it. KM7 BOP, Mark in Las Vegas, are you still with us? And your experience with RTLSDR dongles?
Good evening. The time is 9 p.m. Temperature 32 degrees.
We must have lost Mark. Mike, KC2, YTJ. I see you here on Nutlogger. Your experience with SDR dongles. Take it away.
This is amateur repeater station WA2HKS.
I took that check-in via AIM, so it says he's working. He may not be still here. KD2TFB.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. That brings us down to the end of the list. So if we have any more check-ins that would like to check in to the BARA informational and technical net, please call W2EUP now.
W2EUPI. W-E-2-O-L-D, Biden, North Carolina.
Oh, well, good evening, Bud. Looks like you've got to sneak right in there at the end. Bud, we were talking about SDR dongles. Do you have one? And if you do, how did you use it?
I got a nano. That's about as technical as I get.
All right. The nanos, we should do a net on the nano too. The nanos are pretty cool. The SDR dongle, it's about $40. You plug it into your computer and you can tune all the way from HF to about 1.2 gigahertz for $40. You probably find it on sale right before Christmas for even cheaper. All right, cool, Bud. Appreciate the check-in. Any other check-ins before we close the net up tonight? Please call W2EUP.
This is AC2KS.
W2EUP. This is KA2WCM. Joe in Eggertsville.
All right, we picked up Bill, AC2KS in West Seneca. Good evening. Thanks for checking in tonight. And KA2WCM, Joe in Amherst. Good evening, Joe. AC2KS, your experience with SDR dongles.
Yeah, good evening to everybody on the net. I've got a version 3 and version 4 dongle, and I've done a lot of experimentation, just tuning around and checking out various software packages. And I also found that I had to buy a filter to get rid of AM broadcast, because I found that I was hearing a lot of AM radio interference on a lot of the HF bands, and getting the filter to get rid of the broadcast band helped a lot. But I also have an SDR play, which works really well. As Ted mentioned, those units have filtration on the front end, so they're kind of immune to that type of interference. But yeah, they're really cool, and I've had a lot of enjoyment just playing around with them and tuning around different frequencies and listening to trunk systems and decoding, various digital formats and stuff. So, yeah, they're pretty cool. So that's pretty much it for me.
Cool. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for the check-in. One of the things I noticed with the SDR dongle, and specifically in the waterfall, if you're tuning up on or if you tune to a frequency, a digital frequency on HF, I mean, there's, you can count on all your fingers and all your toes on all the modes that are out there, and you have no idea what the other station, what mode they're playing, or what mode they're using. But if you look in the waterfall, if they have their station set up, some of them have them set up this way and some of them don't, but you can actually look in the waterfall and it will spell out what mode that they're using before they transmit in the waterfall. I thought that was pretty cool. All right, AC2KS, thank you, Bill, for your check-in tonight. On to Joe, KA2WCM, your experience with SDRs. Joe from WEUP.
W2EUP, this is KA2WCM. Good evening, Jeremy. I just caught the, probably the last 15 minutes of your presentation. However, it sounds really interesting. I have zero experience with an SDR or radio and dongle, but it sounds like something definitely to look into, and sounds interesting to kind of play around with and familiarize myself with it. With that, I'll just say 7-3, and I'll be on the side here. KA2WCM.
All right, Joe. Yeah, I think I did this in the winter time when I ordered mine up, and it was freezing cold outside, so I had some time to figure out how it worked. But yeah, you can do lots of things with it. I highly recommend one. All right, we're down at the bottom of the list again with Joe KA2WCM. Any other check-ins before we wrap things up tonight, please call W2EUP.
Hello, Hotel 6, Echo Romeo Tango Mobile.
Winter weather advisory.
All right, KH6ERT. Thanks for checking in this evening. Your experience with SDR dongles. We're talking about SDR dongles. We sort of did a little introductory on how to use an SDR dongle and what they are. Have you ever used one, and what's your experience?
100 Kilo Hotel 6 Echo Romeo Tango Delta Group. Good evening, everybody. I do have a USDR the NSDR kit. I do have it connected to the computer, and I do play along with it every once in a while. But yeah, it's a good device, and I would say I would prefer using the actual radio with the SDR. Over.
Yeah, me too. I wish I had a whole bunch of radios as well. But definitely the dongle's good to get your feet wet. I forgot to mention, if you go to my website, n2ugs.com, there's a couple links on that front page, and one of the links is called the Ultimate Western New York Scanner Feed. And in that feed, there's a number of SDR dongles and scanners connected to that stream. So if you're looking for something that's going on in Buffalo, that's the place to go listen to. You sort of have to filter out the talk groups because there's just way too much stuff going on. All right, Jeff, thanks for checking in this evening. We're going to do another final call-up. For anyone else wishing to join the Barra Informational and Technical Net, please call W2EUP now.
W2EUP. KD2TFB, recheck.
Good evening, Joe. Go ahead.
You know, while I was listening to that, I thought to myself, well, what's the typical bandwidth on one of these SDR receivers? And if you, do they have more available that might be more expensive that have higher bandwidth? And I'll further comment that, yeah, N2LCJ, gosh, he's so close to the WECK transmitter. Yeah, he probably needs one of those AM filters.
Possibly, yeah, it's definitely a good possibility. Yes, okay, so I was going to mention that. So, like, the one that Ted was playing with, the SDR Play, is a little bit more expensive, but it has 10 megahertz bandwidth. The little dongles, that's why I have to use so many, are only 2.4.
Roger, roger, thanks for that. Kilo Delta 2, Tango Fox Bravo.
But then again, I think the more bandwidth that you get, the cost goes up exponentially. So you're not going to get a 10 megahertz one. You might get a 10 megahertz used one for $100, but you'll have to search for a little while. All right, Joe, thank you. Thanks for that, for your recheck. Anyone else before we wrap it up? Please call W2EUP.
What's the advantage of the computer chip as opposed to the Unigen SDS or something like that? Aside from price.
Well, okay, so the price of an SDR 2.4 megahertz SDR dongle is going to be about $40. An SDS 200 is going to be, what, over $600, right? So, and plus the SDS 200 or 100, they can only pick up one conversation at a time. With my dongle and the software that I use, I can pick up multiple conversations at a time and then put them into queue. So if there's three stations talking at the same time, those three stations are all recorded. They're put into a queue so you can hear what each station said. Does that clear it up for you a little bit, Bud?
Oh, yeah, I can see the advantage to that. Of course, you're not as mobile as, like, a handheld scanner or even my Unication acts as a scanner, too. And I can take that with me. The other, it looks like it's kind of locked into the computer.
Yep, and I ran into that problem myself, but I've got an app for my phone that connects directly into all the SDRs and all the scanners, and I can listen on my phone wherever I am in Western New York or the world to what's going on here in Buffalo. And I've got a pretty good setup here as far as receive antennas. All right, bud, cool. Thank you very much for your recheck. Anyone else wishing to check in before we close things up here, please call W2EUP.
W2EUB, this is KE2BYN, be your neighbor, just in the car now. Thank you for the net, brother.
All right, Joe, thanks for checking in this evening. Do you have an SDR dongle? That's what we're talking about.
If you ask me, I know more about the green cheese on the moon, but it's nice to hear your voice and everybody else's.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Thanks for the check-in this evening. All right. We've got 24 check-ins. Appreciate everybody that checked in this evening and had comments. It was a nice net. Before we close tonight's session of the Barrett Tech Net, I'd like to thank all the, 24 check-ins who checked in and participated. Your comments and discussion help make this net a valuable learning experience for all of us. Special thanks to our guests and to those who shared their knowledge this evening. Remember, the TechNet meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on the Bear System. and each week we feature a new technical topic for discussion. If you have a topic that would like to be discussed, or if you'd like to host the discussion, contact myself or Rick, KC2XD, and we'll fit you into the schedule. We encourage everyone to continue experimenting, asking questions, and sharing your experiences with the amateur radio community. This is N2UGS with the W2EUP Barra Technical and Information Net. Now returning the WA2HKS repeater system back to normal amateur use. 773 to all, and have a good evening. N2UGS is now clear.
Fantastic job, Jeremy. W2ZZA. And hi, Bill.
Hey, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. I like talking about a topic that I'm interested in.
You brought back some interesting memories. And Bill, missed you on 7177 this morning and other mornings. If you have the time, 8:30, it's just a short get-together.
Thanks for the reminder.